Thank you.
Thank you. We won't start there, Mitchell. We did have a good rendition of that in one of the group chats, which was quite amusing. Sorry, Bob. Who are you digging out there?
Oh, Mitchell.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice one.
I mean, kind of both of you. Fuck all of you.
Easy.
Yeah, including you, Luke.
No. Okay, fair enough.
We start this week with Tottenham Fulham. Go on, Luke. Not much to be spoken about, really.
That was board draw. That's it, mate. Move on. I didn't watch the game. I was out and it wasn't live anywhere on TV. So caught a bit of the highlights that they showed on Sky Sports. It looked like we had chances. Just didn't put them away. They got sent off for a dirty challenge, which was rightly so. Unfortunately, it was like the last 10 minutes of the game and we struggle against teams that just sit back anyway for 90 minutes of the game. So 10 minutes of the game would have made no difference anyway. Or 20 minutes or 30 minutes if they had 10 men. It's just Tottenham they just 1 week they could be masterclass like prime Barcelona against that when we played against Man City, and then we turn up like, I don't know, Chelsea when they had Lampard, you know. Sorry, Mitch.
I was waiting for some kind of reaction, but he didn't buy it.
No, I know.
So obviously you got a draw against Roma as well.
I'll briefly touch on that then. So the draw against Roma, it was typical Tottenham again. As I mentioned to you before, it's like when we go up, it's like we need to be like two or three up because Tottenham are, they're one to concede. And what I got annoyed about with the Tottenham game is I need to watch like matches
every game.
Well, every game. I need to watch like match of the day to actually see more of the highlights. But if they did the same thing they did at the Roma game, we're going to have a bad season. It's greediness.
What do you mean you're going to have a bad season?
Well, okay, we're not having a great season, but it's not bad. We get 2-3 wins and we could be top four again. Again, in the top four. It's just the way the league's going at the moment.
Again?
yeah. But it's greediness. It's just players, when they've got the opportunity to pass, they're not making that simple pass that they're shooting. The players are just greedy. Like Solanke did it against Roma. Son done it as well. They just easy square pass for a tap in. It would just make sense, but no, they're just going for glory, and they're not scoring from it. And those chances are causing us problems because teams are then getting their chances, and they seem to put it back in the net either for a decent goal like the one they scored today from outside the box, or just them passing it across the box.
You have touched on it a couple of times, but it really does feel like you need to score four goals to win a game.
Yep.
Like you're not winning a game unless you score four, which is bonkers.
No, but what can you do? I don't know what you can do. What, stick five at the back or three at the back, however he wants to do it. Either we shut shop and then play counter-attack football like we did with either Conte or Mourinho. I don't know, both played, didn't play great football at the time. For us, but I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm not a manager.
He's outright said he's not going to change his style.
No, he won't.
You just got to find a way, whilst playing the way you are, you've got to find the key.
He did say recently in one of the interviews that he knows that he needs to change, but I get from what he was saying, it wasn't a case of him changing his philosophy of attacking football. I think it's more of the change in the way that the tactics are within the game. If you know what I mean, I think like where he would bring on an attacking player in a stupid position, you know, or a defensive midfield player taking off like Madison or something when Madison's looking sharp and changing it, and it's costing us the game because he's gone not defensive. He still wants to play that attacking football, but he's brought on a defensive-minded player. I don't know. He's not going to change we're just going to sit back in our box, let people come at us and then we just get a counter-attack football. It may work against teams like Man City because, you know, they force you to do that just to the way that they play, and teams like Liverpool. But other teams, they just either they sit back or they get us on a counter-attack football. But it's just boring. It's a boring draw. It's just typical Tottenham. As Mitchell said last week, be surprised if you didn't lose against Fulham. It was close enough, Mitch. Mm. You know, maybe if they didn't get the sending off, they may have got another goal. You never know. But
they had a lot of chances.
They did.
They doubled all of your chances, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm just checking it here. Even on target. Yeah.
What did you think of the sending off?
Oh, it was a send off. Yeah. Yeah, so he's come straight at the back of his leg and gone down his leg as well with the studs. It's
a little bit like in Didi on Cole Palmer last week.
I was just about to say, is that not what happened last week? And who said it wasn't a red card? Was it you, Clive?
Thomas Donnelly. I said it was a red card. It wasn't.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That Tom Duckley, he don't know what he's talking about, honestly.
He's got no idea.
Although he has, because he knew it weren't a penalty. It's fucking
yeah, it was a penalty. Let's not go back there though.
Yeah. But yeah, ball draw with Tottenham. There's not really much to say other than Brendan The Rock Johnson scored again.
was it him who scored?
Jesus Christ. It was him. Werner got the assist, so you know, well done to him. He's looking good when he's come on and players are tired. He started.
You've got pace to hurt players. Like,
oh, yeah.
Johnson and Werner are both very quick. Like, obviously, Solanke being out today is going to affect the way you want to play. But Son usually does a job for you up front when he has to play there for a game or two. But Fulham are good this year. Like, I say that knowing that Arsenal have got to play them next weekend. So it's a tough fixture for them at the moment.
I expect to win.
At home, yeah, 100%.
I want to win. I know we've got some injuries. I'm not even going to blame injuries. You know, we've got two defensive
moves. You're not allowed to blame injuries because you said it last week.
Exactly that. And the way that we played against... Like, I think if we were playing shit and you could see the mistakes, you could see whatever, everyone could look at the game and be like, well, fuck hell, yeah, okay, we can understand why Tottenham are conceding goals. You know, no one's going to expect Dragosin and Davies to be good enough at the moment. Well, Davies being, you know, experienced player still, but still he's getting older now, and Dragosin's still new to the Premier League. You look at that and you'll be like, okay, fair enough, there's a bit of leeway there. But you play against Man City like that and solid, and then the next Roma and then Fulham. No, I'm sorry, you can't. It's inconsistency for Tottenham. It's not about the quality of the players, is the inconsistency. It obviously does come down to quality of the players, but sometimes you've got the best team in the world and it's just not consistent.
With that and talking about Man City, can we start saying maybe Tottenham weren't as good as everyone thought they were and Man City are just shit at the moment?
No, not just from the performance. If you watched the game, I think half the game. I'd understand if it was a case of City just didn't have chances and we just dominated. You know, like today's Liverpool game at the beginning of their game. I understand if it was that, I'd be like, okay, fair enough. We were quite, and they were just shit. Pretty much like the West Ham game, the second half of the West Ham game. Sorry, Bob, but the second half of the West Ham game where we just annihilated them. Battered them in the second half.
Yeah, okay, let's just
but the Man City game, like if they put their three chances away first, like in the first 20 minutes of that game,
that's like, a different game completely.
It's a different game, Clive, and I think we would not be winning that game. I would have said we probably would have lost maybe 4-1 in that game. I think if they put their chances away early on.
If Haaland got one of those early goals, you're in for a hiding. You didn't the first 12 minutes, you didn't look into
it. No, we didn't. And then we got our structure, you know, then they knuckled down and we were just phenomenal. We were just really, really good in that game. And then, like I said, Roma. But we didn't look bad in Roma. We looked all right. But again, if we weren't greedy with shooting and passing it instead, we would have won that game as well.
So
but no, they took the they wanted to shoot and the keeper saved it or he went wide or whatever. It's just
I've got a point about similar for Arsenal when we come to it. But do you feel like it's players that need a goal that are being greedy, or do you feel like it's just out and out? Because Solanke doesn't. He's been scoring quite consistently since coming back from injury. Right, yeah. He's got three or four. Son probably does need a goal, right? Johnson doesn't need a goal. He's been scoring. No. Timo Werner needs a goal.
Well, that's it. Well, Werner, I think he knows just not to shoot, in fairness. You know, so I think the manager said, look, fuck it, just do your game, don't shoot. And it's working for him. He's come on like two games, I think maybe the Roma game as well. I can't remember, or the game before that, he's come on and assisted. I think it was the Man City game. He came on and assisted. Yeah, it was the Brendan Johnson one.
Yeah, right.
So he's doing the job. Like, he's doing the job we want him to do as coming on. And he might not be scoring, but an assist is technically like a goal. In if he doesn't shoot and he passes it to someone, they've scored it. It's a goal, right? Assist. Again, they're two different things, guys. Don't take the context
keep that,
out.
Just keep that in mind when we talk about Saka.
Yeah, Clive, I already know about the Saka situation. You don't have to remind me. The guy's fucking phenomenal this season. You know, we can come to that afterwards. But it is, though, isn't it? You look at the players and the assists and stuff, they're the ones creating a chance, and that's what you want in football. If they're not scoring, they're creating. Fine. That's what we want, is like a striker, whoever, goals will go in. And we've already banged in a bunch of goals already this season. But then I look at it and I'm like, okay, yes, as you said, Clive, with Son, he needs a goal. He needs to get that consistency back again of scoring. You've got Solanke. He was one of the culprits for not passing it. He wanted to get a goal because I think we might have been 2-1 up at that time. And he's just gone for a shot. And I get sometimes when you're already up in a game, you're
there's
like
a little less pressure. Like,
exactly.
Yeah,
and some players want to shoot sometimes from outside the box, didn't they? You know, try their luck. Porro was a player that's the same.
As a striker, like you want your main man, your main striker to try, like you want them to be a bit greedy. So you generally. If it's if it was me and it's a striker doing it and you are winning the game, I don't mind my striker doing it. Like, because unless it's an absolute sitter that he should play a ball in and like Henry and Perez used to do.
But you got to look at it and I think that's Clive. I think, Clive, that is the difference between the top teams now. Like, you see Salah's assist today. Like, he could have cut in and done a shot instead of assisted on their first goal.
Yeah, but was it
I think it was a shot. I think it's a bad shot.
You think so?
Not a bad shot. I mean, it's a decent effort. I think it's a shot.
I think if he's taking that, he's shooting top corner. I don't think he's going bottom. I think that's a pass.
Well, apparently Salah's greedy anyway.
He is.
Jamie Carragher. So,
he has been. He's that sort of player. But the amount of chances they get in games, you know, they're always going to get chances. The same for Man City. They can afford to sometimes have those.
No, I don't know if they could today.
Not at the moment, I guess. But normally, they're a team that you know are going to get like 10, 15 chances in a game. You know, put your stats on Bet365 or something. You know they're going to get chances. Someone's winning some money in that game. But yeah, Tottenham. I'm not saying Spursy. I hate that the fans booed Ange at the
probably,
end of the game.
There's probably loads on Twitter about getting him out again.
Oh, it's bullshit. Fans being knobbed again. Like, oh, they're going to boo him because we drew against Fulham. Yes, it's a bad result.
It's a London derby as well, people. Games are harder.
I know. I think it's because of the sending off. I think if we didn't get sending off, again, I'd have to check the fans and whatever other people said about the game, but if we didn't get the sending off, there's a possibility...
They're still booing him.
Probably. I'm not in the stadium. They are fickle, yeah. But I think when we look at 10 men and we didn't put the game to bed, maybe...
The sending off is the 83rd minute.
Yeah, it's a late sending off. It was 30 minutes, yeah, fair enough.
I'm only assuming that. I'm not listening to any of the fans or anything like that. I don't want to, because they're always negative when we draw or lose a game. It's just like, this is football. You don't go...
Radio for Luke this week.
Oh, no. You know, my kick is normally watching the Arsenal fans when you lose. And it's quite funny listening to them. It is hilarious. But at the moment, I can't fucking turn that on. I have to get it off my screen when it pops up. Fuck off. Fucking 5-2. But that's...
We'll come to that. I know.
But no, you guys can... you know, move on. I obviously make you guys happy this weekend of a point's a point. It, you know, it helps, but it's frustrating at home to not win that game.
Cool. Well, anything, Bob or Mitchell, do you want to weigh in at all?
They're just so predictable, Spurs. I'm so sick of them. Can't stand it.
You'd like to have them in the Man versus AI, wouldn't you? You'd be getting points every week.
Well, you'd think so. Luke's doing it wrong.
Oh, am I? Sorry. So what you're saying is, so Bournemouth, you're saying we're gonna lose or
lose or draw?
Okay.
And then put yourselves to beat Chelsea.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's how it's going to go.
Because I'm not.
I've done the algorithm. I've done the maths. All right, it's all there.
Yeah. I was in the same boat as Luke. I was out during the Spurs game, and obviously it went on TV anyway. But my parting words to Luke, or at least some of the parting words, were, "I hope you lose." Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was. Cheers, Bob.
Right, let's talk Chelsea Villa then, Mitchell.
Before I get into the game, can we just admire
Nicholas Jackson?
No, I'm actually going to moan about him, but I'm sorry.
Oh, fucking hell.
No, just to be a bit contentious, but look at the second and the third of the table. Is that not a beautiful thing? I don't think I've ever seen that.
I mean, Arsenal, I know we're above you again now. So.
Only because your name starts with an A.
We're above you though, bro.
That's incredible. Look at it. It's beautiful. 13, 7, 4, 2, 26, 14, 12, 25. Draw on the head-to-head.
Well, this section's already winding me up, so I'm going to leave now.
So, yeah, the Chelsea match. I think I underestimated Chelsea and I overestimated Villa. Because I know they've had a bad run, but I thought, oh, fucking hell.
They're all struggling at the moment.
Yeah, they didn't turn up. I don't think they had many chances at all. We changed our system. I'm liking Enzo Maresca more and more each week because he's not afraid to make changes, big or little. And this is like you were moaning, Luke, about Ange. He's not changing anything. And look what's happening with you. But with Enzo, he is changing things.
I mean, you've got 44 players.
We have a lot of players. I'll give you that.
It's like Football Manager, mate, on cheat mode.
But he is in the Premier League at least, using the same players over and over. Really, you're just switching the wingers. Maybe that's his thing.
Exactly. You've got a good team.
He changed the whole system today. He put three at the back, and then Neto, Sancho is like the wing backs, and it was very very attacking. And I did think, we're probably going to concede because that's what we normally do, and you've changed the defensive system. But we looked all right. We looked solid. Jackson getting a good poacher's goal. Nice strike on the ball. Where was that in the first half? I can't remember. It was nothing. Like I say, we were just in control. And I did think because of that half, as we've done in the last few weeks, I thought, right, well, here we go. We've not put the game to bed. We'll come out in the second half and we'll try and lose it. Like, who was it last week? I can't even remember now. And that was tighter than it needed to be. But it didn't happen. Leicester, that's it. But it didn't happen. We stayed in control. Who got the second goal? I can't even remember now.
Enzo Fernandez, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, and it was a nice strike as well. Sort of on the outside of the foot. I think it was Palmer set him up. It was a nice bit of passing between the two of them, actually.
Bounced that well, didn't it, for him?
It bounced that well, and he hit it on the outside of his boot. Nice strike. He's got 2-2 now. He's impressing. And that's another point with Maresca. Like, Enzo will put in good performances, but then he'll switch him out for, who is it, Lavia? To go next to Caicedo and stuff like that. He's not afraid to make those changes. And then like I say, the second half is pretty much a repeat of the first. I do, Bob, listen, don't jump on me, all right, mate? But I do have a little bit of a gripe with Jackson. It's just I'm happy with him. I'm happy with him. I like how he's playing. He's scoring goals. That's all that matters. Fantastic. But he slipped into the old Jackson a little bit in the second half. And I've noticed, it's like, if he's got too much time, I think he's overthinking. He needs to act on instinct and impulse, like he did with the first goal. And he could have got a hat-trick today, easily. But he overthinks things. He did it a couple of times, or one too many touches, or puts the ball a bit too far in front of him, the keeper gets it.
So you're dropping him for the next game then, yeah?
No, definitely not the next game anyway. But yeah, no, he's consistently doing well. He was just, he had a little bit of a dip, and it did make me worry because I thought, oh, we're not putting it to bed here. And then Cole Palmer turns up, didn't he? Oh, That boy, he absolutely loves it. What a perfect strike. Top left. Beautiful goal. It was a good goal. I don't really have much to say on it, Clive, to be honest with you. It was a comfortable, decent performance against the struggling Villa. So I'm happy with it. 3-0, lovely. Didn't concede. Which
you was at home as well, weren't you?
We were at home, yeah.
Couple of chances for Ollie Watkins, weren't there? Like we were talking about in the previous thing about people being greedy, there was definitely one where he should have squared.
He could have squared it. Yep. Should have passed. Yeah,
I was going to mention that. Yeah,
he wants. He's looking for his goals, isn't he?
This is the thing, Mitchell. This is the thing I'm seeing at the moment with a trend with strikers at the moment. At least the strikers, the not going for top four, I guess, but just strikers below top four. They want that glory and they want that goal, and sometimes it's selfishness. And I don't like that because I feel like teams like Man City, like Arsenal, like Chelsea at the moment, like Liverpool, they're just playing as a team. No one being that selfish.
Maybe not City. Because Haaland got 1 in 5 now?
City's going for a bit of a rut at the moment, aren't they?
Like you say, with Ollie Watkins struggling with a bit of confidence. But when the whole team is lacking the confidence, you can't afford to make those sort of mistakes. The same with Haaland, you know? Because like you say, if he had squared it, I mean, that would have been a much better... He probably would have put that away.
He would have been an open goal, I think.
And that's what, 2-1 at that stage?
Yeah.
Different game. Completely different game. They get the confidence. They start pushing. They might have got a point out of that. They might have even nicked it because, like I said, in the last few games, we have shaky second halves. But it's a lack of confidence on his part. He's trying to be greedy. He wants that goal. But you got to think about the whole team. Your whole team is lacking confidence at the moment.
Just one other thing that I wanted to mention. I've been wanting to get off my chest for a while, to be honest. Cole Palmer's celebration, it just does my head in. It looks so awkward, isn't it? I don't know, it just looks really awkward. Like, it just looks like...
Yeah, but he looks awkward. I think that's more him than
it's a Gomo celebration for a Gomo, isn't it?
Oh, bloody hell, Clive. Oh, shit. Not holding back. I think it's because he did it like 3 times. In
he
that celebration.
He's not.
I think you're going to do that celebration. You just do it once. He's done it 3. I think he didn't work, first of all. Then did he slide and then do it? And then didn't he stand up and do it or something like that? I have to rewatch it, but he definitely did it 3 times.
Do you know what? I'm not angry with it because he has.
Is he scoring goals for you?
And he's scoring goals. Yeah. He's assisting goals, but he created his own thing. And he started.
I'm not so sure I don't think he created that celebration.
I'm sure I've seen the Cole celebration before.
I'm fairly sure it's been done before.
No, it was created circa 2023.
I'm not sure if I hate that one more than the Michael Jackson one that Nicholas Jackson won against West Ham.
At least that was a one-off.
And you got fucking Son's little camera as well. Fuck that one. That's a fucking bullshit celebration.
Why you got to come at Tottenham? Hey?
And Madison's dart.
And Madison's dart.
Yeah, but there's a reason why he does the darts.
There's a reason why they all do the fucking celebrations.
No. There's a good reason why he does the darts.
Go on, give it to us.
Don't diss that because he loves darts.
What a great reason.
There's no way Cole Palmer loves the cold. I'm just saying that for a fact, man. Yeah, there's no way. Because no one fucking loves the cold. No one loves the cold.
What would you call it?
It's cool. Because him and Madueke are fucking fire and ice.
Legends. So what if they are gay, Clive? What you got against that, mate?
Nothing. But I'm just saying scenario is so.
I still don't know why, because we haven't seen it in a while. And Nkunku does his celebrations. He gets a balloon out, doesn't he?
The balloon, yeah.
Yeah. We can criticise Arsenal celebrations later for Gabriel's one that he copied.
Oh.
Yeah, he did. Right. Yeah, during the week. Yeah.
He done it again, didn't he, today?
Yesterday. Yeah, he did. He did it right. Yesterday, though. During the week, he got it wrong.
Yeah, he did do it wrong.
Mitchell, question. So, at this stage, would you still rather play Nkunku like you were suggesting very early on in early podcasts?
No.
Okay.
No, good. Absolutely not. Correct answer. I go to the manager. Look at how he's set up the team. Look at how he's set up the system. Whatever he's done is working with Jackson up front.
Next question, Mitchell.
Go on.
Are you in a title race?
No, we're not in a title race, but I am now starting to push towards top four. Yeah, and that's purely because where the fuck have Man City gone? Man City have dropped off. Villa, who I put in my top four, They've dropped off. Newcastle, I put them off top four, are having a woeful season. So yeah, I mean,
again, we say that, but like Newcastle and Villa still 19 points. I know that's 6 points behind Arsenal and Chelsea at the moment, but that's two bad games, three bad games.
It is, but we did have quite a tough opening 10. So to be here after a tough opening 10, it gives me a lot of confidence. And like you say, I mean, it's such a weird season at the moment. I think we're strong enough to nick fourth, and then third is probably going to be Arsenal or City, isn't it? City will come back up. There's no way they're going to.
So now everyone's on the Luke wagon of Liverpool winning the league now.
Is it a Luke wagon?
I mean, I called it beginning of the season. Just saying.
Did you?
No, I did.
Yeah, he predicted it. Yeah.
I'm still not sure we can call it a Luke wagon, but yeah, sure.
No, that's fair play. But I think, yeah, as you said, Mitchell, the season's interesting. I think, Mitchell, personally, you need to, as a club, as big as Chelsea are, and the points that you want as Arsenal, as everyone's going, Arsenal should be winning the league this season, and they could still win the league this season, the way they're playing at the moment. I don't see why not, Mitchell. I don't see why not have that mentality now. As look, we're not that far off. We are still far enough, but not that far off from first. It's just, as I said, a few, even just two or three draws or three wins or three losses, whatever is in between, you could be back up there again. It just takes, and you've got to play them as well at the end of the day. I think you could do it. I think the squads that you've got, you can rotate so well, because it's not like you're lacking quality players. There's, you know, as I said, I joked about you having 44 players, but those players are quality players. It's not like you've got under 21 sitting there. You know, you've got decent players that can do a job.
But we're due a classic Christmas drop off. Arsenal are picking up form. Liverpool aren't losing form. We're not.
But you're in form. You're in form. I, if you win this week, yeah. Who you got this week?
Southampton.
If you fuck up against Southampton, then okay, fair enough. Top four. But if you beat Southampton and then beat us. I mean, you've got to look at it and be like, fucking hell.
I don't think we'll beat Spurs.
Maybe.
Because you're an awkward team. You're not beating the top.
Again, you might look at that. I mean, I want us to beat you at home. I always want us to win. But statistically, as you said, what, 8 times we've won against you in 60-odd games?
In 64, yeah.
So you look at that record, it's been going on for a long, long time.
1992.
So you'd think going into that game with a bit of confidence as well for that game, just because of the stats. You know, football is an interesting thing, so things could always change. But you'll go into that thinking, okay, we've got a great start against Tottenham. Let's go out.
But there's still issues that need to be fixed with the defence and Sanchez. If Watkins had played that ball across the box, we'd be looking at a completely different game.
Yeah. So your goalkeeper that plays in Europa Conference as well. Because a lot of people want him to be the number one, and he does look good when he plays.
Yeah, but it's fucking Farmers' fucking league, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is so poor.
I say that, but you fucking made that game look difficult the other day. It's no joke of a competition, you know.
Well, we won 2-0.
Prestigious.
Prestigious.
Yeah, but you made it look difficult for a while.
Yeah, but we literally are playing a completely different squad. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It is bizarre having enough players to have two different squads. It was 10 different players that played in that game.
That's mental.
It is mental.
That's crazy. We do that and we lose. You do that, you win.
Well, we are due to win that competition and hold all three. Not hold, have all three. Thank you. There's no other league,
Clive. Come on.
You'd be upset, wouldn't you? I mean, you're still trying to get Champions League. You're embarrassed.
I wouldn't be upset. I just think it's embarrassing celebrating that win. Like,
what, having all three?
Well, you won't be holding all three,
Champions
will you?
Trophies. Yeah, but it's still
Who won the Champions League last season?
Who cares?
Wasn't you, was it?
Well, no, it was the season before.
Who won the Europa League last season?
Who cares?
It wasn't you, was it? So you're not holding them.
Like, no, I don't mean hold.
Well, that's what you said.
Forget that word. We've had all three, and we'd be the only team in the history of the universe to have done it.
See, people bang on about me banging on about Arsenal going
banging on
unbeaten.
Banging on.
Like you,
Just but let's listen. Mate. Talking about that, Clive.
Listen,
he's done it. I feel like conceding 14 goals an entire season is a better stat
than going unbeaten the whole entire season.
Yeah,
I think that's a different discussion for a different podcast. But you are very wrong. very wrong. All I will say is Alex Ferguson said the best achievement in the Premier League history is Arsenal going the whole season unbeaten.
Let me just put my fishing rod back.
I didn't say it. The best manager of all time in the Premier League said it.
Really?
That's up for debate though. Right. Anyone else want to talk about Chelsea?
Sure. No, thank you.
No? Wonderful. Right. So I got a text before we go into the Arsenal West Ham game from one of our friends saying that he wanted to, like, a little guest appearance so that he could talk to Bob about a particular game.
I know exactly who it is and he can fuck off.
who do you think it is?
Tom.
It is Tom. Do you want me to bring him in now or not?
Yeah, bring him in. Yeah.
He's not here. He's not here. I'm not doing that to you, Bob.
That's brilliant. That's so good.
Home team starts. Go on, Bob. Let's hear what you got to say. This is an excellent start.
This was the sound of the stadium.
Apparently, a lot was kicking off at the stadium from what I saw on the side.
Yeah, West Ham fans being West Ham fans, right?
Yeah, fighting each other.
Were they?
Good standard. Do you know what? It's not the worst I've seen us play all season. So I watched the game. I went to a shopping centre. I'm not going to say I said Lakeside. to go Christmas shopping. And I said to my partner, right, I need to go watch the West Ham Arsenal game because obviously we do this podcast and I need to watch it. And we went in there and she joined me for the first part. And she said to me, they are all over you. They're so much better than you. she don't watch football.
She knows. She knows.
Doesn't watch football. And it was so easy to see. Arsenal were just the much, much better side throughout all of it. I mean, the first half, what a crazy first half that was. But just we couldn't get out of our own half. Like we couldn't get on the ball. We couldn't string any passes together. And it was because of the way that Arsenal were playing. It was like they came out with a point to prove. And in all honesty, I don't think we played. I know this sounds ridiculous considering we got beat 5-2, but I don't think we were absolutely atrocious. I just think Arsenal were very good for a lot of it. I know that's probably a bit controversial because I've seen people slate West Ham down to the ground after that game. But obviously, defensively, if you're conceding 5 goals, there's something a little bit wrong there. Having said that, there was 2 penalties. I mean, I just don't even want to speak about the penalties, to be honest with you. Typical Arsenal, you know, always cheating and all that. But the other 3 goals, obviously something's wrong there, but like obviously the corner with, like, we should know. Do you know what I mean? Like
everyone should know what we're going to get up to.
Yeah.
Antonio against Gabriel is such a mismatch as well. Why are you putting him on? Like it's like the City game when I can't even remember who they put on. I think it was Grealish or Bernardo Silva, someone ridiculous on him. And you're just thinking, get your best defender at heading the ball on Gabriel. Like, I don't think there's a player who scored more headers since Gabriel's been in the Premier League than him. Like, you know, that's what he's good at.
Yeah. So obviously there was some issues there, but we're playing against, you know, one of the best teams in the Premier League. I really don't think it was as bad as what it looked. You're probably going to think I'm fucking crazy for that.
No, I know what you mean.
I kind of agree, because like Arsenal for 40 minutes blew you out of the park. But if they didn't score in those 40 minutes, like the game's a different game. Like obviously, like, but what I mean is, if they don't go 3-0 up, kind of, it's not, you're doing a good job containing, but you just got blown away by a team in the first half. Like, it's literally it. Like, Arsenal then come off the gas, didn't need to force anything in the second half, made sure we weren't fucking stupid and concede any more, because the two goals we conceded were both poor to concede. I was half expecting you to have a little bit of a moan about the penalty decisions and the timber block on the corner. But like, you just, again, like, I don't know what your manager said before the game. Like, you know, we're going to come out fast. You know that we're going to be a handful from corners. You've got to set up better. You've got to be smarter about it. Like, in open play, he was quite compact. I mean, again, Wan-Bissaka was out of position for one of the goals. But you know what, like, Odegaard and Saka are going to do. Stopping them is a complete different question. Like, not many teams can stop them.
But I think that was the same for a lot of it. I think it was the... I do think in this game we had more of a structure than what we had had in previous games where we had lost severely or played very badly. I really don't think in the first half we played exceptionally poorly. I think Arsenal just played exceptionally well for a certain amount of that game. Like, that's probably the best I've seen Arsenal play in a half this season, personally, from what I've seen of Arsenal anyway.
I think against Sporting Lisbon during the week, the first half of that game,
we played
superbly as well. I think you're Arsenal, like, and I've said it for a couple of weeks, we've not been playing well up until now. Obviously, Martin Odegaard's a big factor in that. And I think since he's been back, we've scored 14 goals. So you're obviously, that is a big difference compared to the start of the season without him. The other noticeable thing for us is obviously Thomas Partey was missing, which did concern me before kickoff. But
yeah, you missed him a lot, didn't you?
But one of the things I was going to say that touches on the greediness of players at the moment is even in the second half when we changed, we brought Sterling on and the Jesus on, they're two players at the moment that you can tell are desperate for a goal. There's a couple of times they should be squaring the ball and then we've got tap-ins.
It's what he done at Chelsea. That shot where he's got, what are you trying to shoot for? And he hits the side netting.
Netting.
Just come back. Yeah. You're not getting an angle there. The defender's got you covered. But that's
him just being desperate to score one or two goals. And like, we was in a nice position in regards to being three goals.
I was going to say
off.
That, yeah. But imagine so if you weren't.
You can take that chance. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's where maybe that will come back to haunt us, like, down the line. But the nicety at the moment for a lot of Arsenal fans is he's actually rotating players and he's trusting his subs.
Yeah.
Which he hasn't done before. Like, we've got a bit of quality coming. And again, we're in a luxury position at that point. We're 3-0, three goals up. Not 3-0 up, but three goals the better. So you don't need your subs to come on and change the game. You can just steady the ship or whatnot. But it's nice to see that we're being able to take Saka off with 20 minutes to go or Martin Odegaard off with 15 minutes to go. Getting those players' minutes as well will only help later on in the season.
What? So, Bob, I want to know your thoughts on the penalties. Are you saying no to both?
I'm not going to lie. As you can imagine, I haven't rewatched much of that match back. But from what I saw initially, I think the first one, yes, I think there was contact, wasn't there?
First one, definite. Yeah. Like, Saka's beating the man, a leg comes out, trips him.
And that's the difference between the two, Clive, the one from last week. The West Ham player put a leg out. That was the difference.
The Chelsea defender knew exactly what he was doing.
Bollocks,
He got beaten and he just left himself there to be hit. He knew what he was doing.
No.
Second one, I was a little bit more contentious about the second one, only because I couldn't see the contact.
I didn't think the second one was a penalty.
Yeah.
It's a funny one.
Of course it is, Clive. it's hilarious. Yeah.
I think it's a very soft penalty, but we've seen games where they're not given. Like Arsenal have had it this season in the Champions League where they're not given. And you say, well, how can a goalkeeper get away with punching a player in the head or the face or whatever?
All right then, Clive. Yeah. Well, the ref should look at that and go, well, it's 4-2. Let's make this game a little bit interesting because, you know, West Ham are on a bit of a
You want David Coote? You want David Coote refereeing every game, do you?
They've got to have
integrity.
If he's got his eyes on the ball the whole time and he's not looking down at the player to see where he is.
He's allowed to punch someone in the face.
No, but it's the keeper's right, isn't it? The keeper...
He can challenge for the ball.
He's punched in the face.
He's punched him, yeah.
No, yeah.
It was a bit of his glove slightly touched his skin.
Punched him in the face.
It slid off of his face, Clive. Fuck you.
All right, so you're allowed... Okay, goalkeepers are allowed to punch... As long as we're setting it right now... As long as goalkeepers...
We are not calling that a punch in the face.
Goalkeepers' fists... can make contact with players' face.
Could have killed him.
That's allowed.
The fucking reaction from Gabriel, honestly.
He's screaming. Yeah. Honestly.
You've got to play to the cameras. All players do that, though.
Bit like Paqueta's for the free kick that Emerson scored. Like, Rice doesn't touch him and he goes rolling around.
That was a horrible challenge.
And the referee's standing right in front of it and he still somehow gives it. But, like... Yeah, you got to be like, it's soft. And I'd say against Arsenal, I'd be disappointed if it's given, but I'd understand that it's given because that's 100% way.
He didn't touch him.
He does.
No, he don't. Just because he screams, it don't mean that he touched him. Right. I've learned that lesson in life.
It's unfortunately for Bob, it's a penalty.
No, I'm not sure on the second one. Like I say, I haven't really rewatched it back. From what I saw, it looked very, very, very soft to me. Yeah, and it looked very 50-50. They're obviously both going for the ball. He's not looking at him. He's barely touched him. You are not calling that a fucking punch.
Also, Clive, on that point, right? So if it's a 50-50 and they're both going for it, so let's assume, right, it wasn't the goalkeeper, because obviously the goalkeepers will come out and try and punch the ball away.
Right, if any other player punches him in the face, then yeah, I want a penalty as well.
Yes, but
and probably a red card, if I'm honest.
Let's say it's a defender. He's not punching, but he's going to head it away. And the two players clash heads. Is that a penalty?
If Gabriel gets there first, then yeah, it's got to be. Like, it'd be a free kick on the pitch.
What if they were both going in with their heads, but the other one didn't touch him? Would that still be a penalty?
If he takes him out with his body, then yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
How about if he didn't touch him, but Gabriel still screams? Would that still be a penalty?
I mean, again, it's a free kick the other end where Paqueta rolls around screaming.
I don't think you understand it here. You know, if the referee's giving it for Arsenal, it's guaranteed regardless. If it is
not.
You should just know it's always guaranteed.
Absolutely not.
Arsenal fans. I mean, he did say it was a funny one, but actually we've just come to the conclusion now that it is actually a penalty. I mean, I don't care. You know, I look like, to be fair, it did look like he punched him in the head, but Gabriel did make a meal of it. So
every Premier League player
What I said. Exactly what I said. Players are going to do that. They're going to get hit in the head, cry out, and the referee's going to go view it in the camera, slow motion, LVAR would then. And then they're like, oh, it's a penalty because he's been hit in the head. And the direction of the ball has gone for the player. I have to watch it again, but the player's got the ball, not the keeper. So the way they've seen the direction of the ball, so they've given it a penalty. So I get it. It might have been soft, but he's made contact to the player's head and the ball's gone a different direction than him punching.
I'm not sure he has.
It's a penalty. So
I mean, he's lucky not to be red carded.
Well, I'm a red card there, Clive.
He's lucky, isn't he?
That scream punching, was so loud, he should have got a card for it.
Yeah.
Punching players in the face is allowed, apparently.
It's not, no, because you keep us entitled, Clive. I know you. I don't know if you're trying to wind this up or you're actually serious.
I am exactly doing that.
But, yeah, you bloody Arsenal fans. But yeah. on that game, in the first half, Clive, as we were saying about players not being greedy and players being greedy with chances, but if you watch this, there's two things that I saw from the Arsenal highlights was... One, West Ham players need to stop ball watching. They need to follow the runners. The goal for the header.
Yeah.
Not following the player. Then the second goal, which is great football from Arsenal, with a ball over the top to Saka from Odegaard, was it?
Yeah,
he runs through. I'll pause it now. So he's run past two players, and everyone's watching the ball. Yeah. Then you've got Wan-Bissaka watching the ball. Comes across. Saka's able to bring it down on his knee. By the way, in the box, then crossed it. Then good, you know, this was talk about not being greedy now. So it all comes full circle here, is that he could have shot. Let's be honest, any player in that position shooting there. But on his weaker foot, he puts it across the box into Trossard, I think it is.
Yeah, Trossard.
But Wan-Bissaka's still watching the ball, not the player. Tapping.
I 100%
it's great football.
I think a lot of teams do that against Arsenal. I think it's because a lot of teams, for whatever reason, don't expect Odegaard to play that ball, and I don't know why. And you're right, players, their whole line doesn't follow that run. It's not just one player that doesn't track. Saka's
defenders. Been doing that all season. I've been watching it. Even when we play against him, we try to keep him quiet because you would double up on him, or you literally stick to him. As soon as he passes that ball back, he's going to try and cut in and make that run. It's been working for him all season. And that's how he's been getting goals. And I think the game before he got assisted the same sort of way. He's been doing it all season. And teams are either not getting in the drawing board at the club, watching the games and doing the tactics. Because if they did do that, well, West Ham just switched off.
I think with Saka, and we discussed it a little bit at the start of the season in regards to him not going on the outside and crossing with his weaker foot.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 months, he's been doing a lot more of that. And again, it gives that another dynamic to his game that defenders worry about.
And you don't know what he's going to do then, because before it'd be predictable. Maybe, you know what he's going to do? He doesn't want to cross it. He's going to try and cut in, you know, and come in on his left. But now it's like, no, he's taking out wide, getting a decent crossing with his right foot. Yeah. And you don't know what he's going to do.
He's added another dimension to his game. Yeah. And he, again, this season, he looks physically stronger as well. Like, he's never shied away from the physical jewels on a pitch, but this season he looks physically stronger as well. So, honestly, I think, as we said a couple of weeks ago, I think Cucurella had a good game against him, but I wouldn't say had him in his pocket. But Cucurella is definitely the player that's defended against him. Maybe Lewis Hall for Newcastle as well, that have both defended against him very well. But I just, there's nobody's really found a solution yet. He's still able to impact games.
Talking of Cucurella quickly. God, that was hard to say. his assist today was actually really good. I forgot to mention that during the Chelsea thing. Was it Jackson's goal?
Yes.
Where he.
It was. Yeah, he did do very well for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought I'd do a little shout out because I know I've spoken him off before.
So he's bored about talking about West Ham, isn't he?
I am literally. Sorry, go on.
The good things from West Ham in that game, like the free kick was a banger. Shouldn't have been a free kick, but it was a banger. And Wan-Bissaka's goal, you worked that very well. That pass from, was it Solar?
Yeah.
What a ball that was.
And again, I haven't come out of this game as negative or having as much of a negative feeling as I did against Chelsea or Spurs. And mainly because I really don't think there was a lack of effort there. I don't think there was, yes, maybe lack of ideas at time and lack of, I don't know. I don't want to say lack of skill, but that's not what I mean. I think they were just outplayed.
There's a difference in quality, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was, and it's so clear to say, like I say, like Trudy literally said it to me within the first 15 minutes of the game, and she doesn't watch football. It's so clear to see to everyone. But I don't feel as negative about it. Fuck you, Luke. as those other two games. And I think there were positives, especially going forward. Obviously not defensively when you concede in five. But yeah.
So you lose to Leicester or get a negative result against Leicester. And I'm saying a draw would be negative.
Mm-hmm.
Lopetegui out.
No.
Every week, that's all laughing. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
No, and I mean, I would feel a lot more negatively about it. I will say that if we lose against Leicester,
imagine if you lose to Leicester and Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, I'd feel
that would be dangerous. Yeah, that would put you in a dangerous position.
Yeah, that would be no show to a podcast. Dangerous. That would. I'm not sure I'd come on.
In the relegation zone for Christmas. Oh, Christmas would what come early, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Leicester. They're always entertaining, aren't they?
Not really.
Shit song.
Sorry, go on.
I'm waiting for you, Bob. You go, mate.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say, to be fair. Yeah, come on, you Irons.
So another, we can just touch on it. Another two assists for Saka and another goal. Get in there, the Arsenal.
Gross.
Yeah, fuck
it. It's not the Arsenal, because if it was the Arsenal, we'd be above you.
It's the Arsenal. Come on, the Arsenal. That is a good point to make on the podcast. We've gone into second position above Chelsea now. So London is red.
By name difference.
London is red.
Name difference. When can you ever say that? Except for the...
the start of season before
start
the
of
games
season,
played.
Yeah. Fucking outrageous.
So we've got a big old man versus AI because we're doing two predictions because of midweek games.
Multi-fixtures.
So I'm just going to start getting the predictions ready. So talk amongst yourselves.
Go ahead, Clef.
Okay. Get an Arsenal shit.
Do you know, right, that game. I had to go somewhere for 10 minutes, so I didn't have access to a screen. 10 minutes, I missed three goals. And you knew the game was over. Second half, I could have put a bet on for the second half, there'd be no goals.
Yeah,
all the action that first half and then nothing.
I mean, I honestly think if that penalty, you know, the one that wasn't a penalty, if that didn't happen and they didn't score, we were on a bit of a bounce there. I feel like we could have got another goal. But obviously that didn't happen and, you know, they cheated again.
Awesome.
You got the half of your prediction right, Bob.
Yeah, well, in my eyes, we still won. Two of, because at least two of those goals shouldn't have been allowed. And I'll just make something up for the other one. So,
yeah.
Two of. Dumbbell. Get 3 points.
Yeah.
You did not get 3 points, FYI. Spoiler alert.
I still ain't got points for, yeah.
I think that table's going to be looking a bit juicy now. I still want Luke to lose, though.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I want to see you wearing Arsenal top.
Should be worried about Man United.
Yeah.
Nah, not really.
No. Didn't they do this like a couple of seasons ago or last season where they were struggling and they just started picking up points again?
Well, yeah, new manager.
Apparently, Aman was outrageous in this game today. I haven't actually seen any of the footage from it, but apparently he was incredible. He was quite good against Ipswich as well.
Who is he?
Is it Aman or Ahmad?
I don't follow United, mate. So I don't know who he is. Is striker, winger?
Winger.
Winger, okay.
That is going to be a juicy
Ahmed
fixture.
Ahmad Diallo.
Arsenal United. Now that Amaram's come in, Amarim, his name is, picking up a bit of form. They've both picked up a bit of form at the right time.
Who?
Arsenal and United.
Right, so we're ready to do a recap. Recap. So, Luke predicted a 3-0 Tottenham win.
What an idiot.
Fuck off, mate.
You know what I mean?
0 points.
You should have known.
Yeah, I know I should have known. That's on me.
Mitchell predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win, so 1 point. Idiot. Clive predicted a 3-0 Arsenal win, so 1 point. Bob predicted a 2-2 draw, so 0 points.
2-1 win, actually, Clive.
AI predicted a 2-1 Arsenal win, so it got 1 point. Predicted a 2-0 Chelsea win, so it got 1 point. It predicted a 3-1 Tottenham win, so it got no points there. So the table, we have a new outright leader. Mitchell Brown goes to 9 points. Bob on 8, Clive on 7, Luke on 5. AI with a grand total of 44. Humans, 29.
Oh my goodness.
Fucking hell. We're going to rule the world, mate. We're fucked.
So, yeah, got a long way to come back yet. So,
I'll be the first to reach double digits.
Well, could still get that very wrong. So, first fixture of the next lot, I think, would be Leicester West Ham. Are they the first teams to play?
It's Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, so Bob, what's your prediction?
2-0 West Ham.
2-0 West Ham. He's going for it. So no new manager bounce for Leicester is what you're saying. Ruven Nistelrooy is not going to come and eat you alive.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
I fear for him. His first game against the mighty West Ham.
You fear for him.
He's probably rubbing his hands together thinking, fuck me, hang on, we've got to try for this one.
What an easy opening game.
You can leave now, Luke. And you, Mitchell.
Right, and then it will be Chelsea-Southampton, I think, would be the next game. So, Mitchell, what are you saying?
Well, definitely a Chelsea win. Definitely. By how many?
I mean, they did look good against Liverpool-Southampton, is all I say. Not trying to sway your prediction.
He's definitely trying to sway you. Before. That's why he mentioned it. Just trying to sway you, mate. You're going to lose 2-1.
I'd be very upset if we did. And now you've said it, I can feel
actually,
it.
Actually, so would I, because I feel like you'll come straight into the Tottenham game up for something. So I hope you win.
There you go. I want to say 3 or 4-1. Because I do think we'll concede.
Which one are you saying?
4-1. Let's go for it.
Oh, he's going. He's going big. He wants to go into double digits in style. Then I think it might be Tottenham. Is it Arsenal? I thought Arsenal. Oh, yeah, Arsenal United.
You're 20 minutes after us, or 15 minutes, whatever it is.
So when are Tottenham?
Thursday.
Fucking hell. All right. Arsenal United, Arsenal at home. Oh, it's a tough one, isn't it? ooh. 2-0 has never worked for me, has it? It's been quite a bad prediction for Clive, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, it was 2-1 a lot, wasn't it? And 3-1. He's done that a lot, and none of them have really come in.
Yeah, so none of your predictions have been good, Clive. That's what you're basically saying.
I think my first week was... No, I've only got ones. Arsenal United. I am going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
2-0?
Are you at home?
He is at home.
2-0 Arsenal.
Not concede. They just banged four when it was against Everton.
Come on. All right. They struggled.
You did just concede two against a really shit team, though.
Yeah, we gave them two, didn't we?
Well.
Luke, Tottenham v Bournemouth. Are you at home?
Fucking
no,
hell.
No, you're
yeah.
away.
So no, I'm sorry, away. Oh, don't know.
1-0 Bournemouth.
No, don't, Mitchell. Fuck off.
He will never predict them to lose, is what he said.
I'm not predicting. I'm thinking of a draw, though. I know, I'm going to go. Will we concede, though? That's the question.
Of course you will.
Concede or not to concede? That is the question. I'm going to say 2-0
Tottenham. 2-0 Tottenham away to Bournemouth.
I mean, where are they in the league? Not that it matters who
I mean,
we
they
play
beat
with
Arsenal, they beat Man City.
Fuck off, Clive. Why you got to tell me this? Nah, we're sticking with 2-0. They are 2 points, and they're behind us. Yeah, 2-0.
They had a hat trick of penalties this weekend. So Right. Then we go to the next set of fixtures. Now, do you want me to do AIs now, or do we want to do our predictions and just do AIs
just do AIs in one, I think.
Cool. Luke decided, everyone.
Sorry.
I disagree.
So then the following week, we have any... So you play Thursday. Obviously, fucking... Why say I'm on shitty fucking Sunday?
First.
Everyone Sunday. Right, so Arsenal v Fulham away. Fulham, we struggle against usually. Last couple of seasons. I'm going to say Fulham, Arsenal. Will Smith Rowe come back to score against us?
Will Smith Rowe?
Yeah.
I'm going to give them...
Emil's brother.
I'm going to give Smith Rowe a goal, and I'm going to say Arsenal... I'm going to go big here. Oh. Arsenal 4-1.
Oh, he's gone for
4-1.
4-1.
He's going 2 4-1s in a week.
He's going for it. So, Tottenham at home to Chelsea. So, Luke goes first on his prediction.
3-1 Never.
Confidently, no messing about.
Look how long it took you for the Bournemouth game. Then you go 3-1 against us.
I mean, I was confident because Mitch, you was telling me that we were going to beat you, so I'm going off of
I
you.
I do feel like right. You're
so
beat us.
I'm going 3-1 Tottenham then.
All right, your retort.
I'm feeding off Mitchell's energy.
Mitch,
I don't think. Oh, I don't even want to say it.
Just say it. Just say it. It's so hard to predict Chelsea.
Oh, because I've done all right now. I'm top. I do think Spurs will beat us because they're just such a fucking weird team. But I'm not going to predict that.
Oh, of course not. Of course you're not. See, he's all talk, isn't he? He's all talk. Spurs are going to win.
I think it'll be a bit boring, a bit cagey. I'm going to go 1-1.
I think that's a sensible shout. And then fucking West Ham on a Monday night against Wolverhampton.
3-1 West Ham.
Fucking loves it.
1 West Ham.
I imagine if West Ham lose both their games. That'd be fucking hilarious.
It would annoy a certain section of our friends, wouldn't it? So right, anyway, that's fine. It's given me the list in such a dumbass order, but here we go. Right. Leicester v West Ham. Leicester have been struggling with a recent 4-1 defeat to Brentford. West Ham also face a heavy loss at Arsenal.
I'm so happy.
It has predicted a 1-1 draw.
Oh, that's fucking ridiculous.
I mean, that's not...
I can believe
both
it.
Both teams are seeking to rebound from significant defeats, and a draw seems a likely outcome given current forms. Southampton Chelsea. Southampton has been inconsistent with a recent 2-3 loss to Leicester. Chelsea has shown resilience, maintaining a 7-match unbeaten run. Apparently.
Let's check that. We haven't lost in 5, I know that much.
How about 7?
Chelsea 2, Southampton 0. Chelsea's solid form and defensive strength position them as favourites against an inconsistent Southampton team. 2-0. Arsenal v Manchester United. Arsenal are in excellent form, recently defeating West Ham 5-2 and moving up to second place.
It's
like
they're trying to fucking wind me up, isn't it?
United secured a 4-0 win over Everton, but faces challenges with key players suspended. Injuries and suspensions, Bruno Fernandes is a doubt, and Martinez and Kobbie Mainoo are suspended. Prediction, Arsenal 3, Man U 1.
How is Kobbie Mainoo suspended?
I don't know, it's just what AI is telling me. He's been injured a lot of the time, hasn't he?
He was back today.
Well, maybe he got his 5th yellow card of the season, maybe.
Yeah, you went 4-1, Clive, yeah?
Against Fulham, against United, I went 2-0 Arsenal win against United.
Oh, we did get a yellow card. Sorry,
there you go. Next game, Bournemouth v Tottenham. Bournemouth achieved a 4-2 win over Wolves with Justin Clive scoring a hat-trick of penalties. Tottenham has been inconsistent with a recent 1-1 draw with Fulham. Dominic Solanke missed the last match due to illness but may return. Prediction, 2-2 draw. Bournemouth's recent attacking display and Tottenham's inconsistency points towards a higher scoring draw.
Yeah, I can see it as well.
There you go.
But I'm not going with that.
Then we've got what matches next? Arsenal Fulham or Chelsea Tottenham?
Arsenal Fulham.
So let's put the Chelsea Tottenham game first for whatever reason.
Because they know it's a better game.
Fulham scored, secured a 1-1 draw against Tottenham, showing resiliency. Arsenal building momentum with consecutive high scoring victories. Prediction: Fulham 1, Arsenal 3. Oh, it's getting close. Rational: Arsenal's attacking and current form suggests they will outscore Fulham.
2-3-1s.
Tottenham v Chelsea. Tottenham has had mixed results.
You get it, Clive.
Has had a mixed. That line doesn't make sense. Has had mixed results in London derbies, winning 15 points from 9 matches. Oh, that's not great, is it?
No.
Chelsea has a strong head-to-head record against Tottenham.
Yeah.
Remaining unbeaten in the last 7 encounters. Prediction: Tottenham 1, Chelsea 2.
Ooh.
So we've got 3 different results
in that.
So someone's getting points. Rationale: Chelsea's favourable head-to-head record and current form give them the edge in this London derby. And last but not least, Wolverhampton versus West Ham. West Ham looking to recover from 5-2 defeat. I mean, they would have played Leicester by then, so Wolves suffered a 4-2 loss, so they both need a win. It is predicting, it hasn't given me rationale for that game, but it has predicted a 2-1 West Ham win.
Okay, so I mean, it just solidifies why that fucking robot's a dickhead.
Rationale, here we go. West Ham's attacking quality may give them the edge. Alright, cool. Go on, Bob, continue your rant at AI.
I can't even remember where it was. It is a knob though, isn't it? I don't know.
It's beating us bad.
We at least know that we're idiots. This robot's trying to act all hard.
All realistic.
Maybe it just knows how to predict football scores without using its heart.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a heart. It's a robot.
Exactly, Bob.
Actually, that's probably a question for a different podcast. Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, that's intriguing. And that's where we'll end it, listeners.
Do robots have hearts?
Bye.
Do robots fart?